This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Good. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Did you do anything fun?
Not really.
I mean, either.
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah. Today's St. Patrick's Day, huh?
It is. I forgot all about it.
Me too. Well, and that's not true. When I was going to grab a shirt, I looked for something green. I don't know anything green.
No, I didn't even think about it.
Everyone's on spring break right now.
Yeah,
all the schools are closed.
Tell my kids, like, I don't know if you're supposed to say Happy St. Patrick's Day. We're not Irish, so I don't know.
I don't know. We were definitely always in school on St. Pat's.
I did a thing for Bon Pop.
You did?
Yeah, we've had this. I have them every year for St. Patrick's Day, just because it always kind of falls on spring break. And so we've had this Lucky the Leprechaun, and he usually trashes the house.
It's like the elf shelf or whatever?
Yeah, your own
version of that.
Yeah, so I got these chocolate St. Patrick's Day brownies, and I made a little sign saying Lucky was here, and I put the gold coins out and balloons.
That's nice.
And, yeah.
And you can watch Leprechaun when you get home.
Yeah, that'll be a good tradition for you guys.
Yeah, I thought
so.
Yeah.
Whenever you can, create those things that are, between... a parent or parents and their kids, and it's like something they remember, then I think you've done the work then.
See, I forgot about it, and then like last night he was like, oh yeah, Lucky's going to come overnight.
See? Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, Dad's going to go run some errands.
So now he always remembers.
I'll be right back.
When he's older, don't stop.
No, I'm going to have to.
Even when he's like a teenager, just be like, dude, I don't know. Maybe he thinks you're still a kid. Like, I do that to my, I'm like, I don't know, man.
No, I do like that.
Yeah.
I don't and I also remember doing
nothing,
anything.
I know nothing green, so he's pinching me all morning.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I know we were at school in St. Patrick's Day when I was a kid because I remember getting pinched. And I remember, I associate St. Patrick's Day with two things. As an adult, it's bars and the parade, yeah. Right? And then when I was younger, it was girls dressing up at school. They'd wear like really short shorts for the first day of the year. It was like the, whether it was warm enough or not, they'd already planned on dressing like it was spring. They'd have the green socks on up over their knees and all the jewelry and walking around pinching you. That's all I really remember, though. My parents didn't do anything for St. Pat's.
No, mine either.
So my mom decorates, but she does that for everything. She says we're Irish.
St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. She says she's telling me yesterday she's Irish. I'm like, okay. Have I heard that
I
before?
I feel like I didn't really get, interested in it at all until my 20s when you went to the bar and drank.
Right. That's when it becomes a whole new world. Now it's like a lot of people take the day off or the next day off.
Sure.
The bars are completely overrun, which I assume is still. There are people out at bars right now, right?
I would think so.
Or has that changed a little
bit? No, I think there's people out at bars.
Okay. You would, like, take the day off. I know there. I've done it as an adult when it wasn't a weekend.
I've done it with you.
Okay. Well, yeah, we've done it for work. And then I know that I've been down there for the parade and early in the day. It's packed.
I don't even know who this girl is, but we went underneath a tent together, and she's like, you want to see something? I was like, yeah. And she put that thing between her cleavage.
Yeah.
And then popped it up in the air and caught it in her mouth.
Yeah, I remember
that. I still think about it. At least 3 times a year.
Yeah.
On St. Patrick's Day for sure, and then 2 other times just because she was so hot.
Yeah.
And then just disappeared. But still, randomly, from 15 years ago, I'm like, hey, I remember that.
Yeah, I may be misremembering, but I got an idea what that thing was. Pretty good idea. The Church of Laszlo. I know we don't necessarily do like a lot of celebrity updates or celebrity gossip, but I thought you might want to know this. You remember Ben Affleck's, I mean, I know you remember his ex-girlfriend, that Ana de Armas, is it Ana de Armas? Ana de Armas?
Ana de Armas, yeah.
She, Cuban, Spanish, both?
I don't know.
Both things come to mind.
Next level.
She's all beautiful. I know that. Did you see who she's been spotted with several times now? Like the media is reporting that maybe they're together.
I just watched The Town last night, by the way.
That's a good one.
Man.
That's a good one.
Have you seen The Town?
Of course.
Oh, well, you say of course.
You might be never seen Rocky. Right.
Okay.
My heart of just course. Sank. I was like, he's going to say no. You're right. I forgot. There's a bunch of stuff he hasn't
seen. I've seen The Town many times.
It's so good. You know, that guy can direct a flick, can he?
Yeah, for sure.
He's good. Well, his ex, Ana de Armas, however you say it, they're saying she's with Tom Cruise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they keep getting spotted together. And, you know, people making this big deal out about it because, you know, of course, the age difference thing. And then why Tom Cruise? She can have any guy. Tom Cruise is a massive, massive, massive movie star. He's probably a billionaire. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised. If you tell me his estimated net worth is $1
billion. Yeah.
Do your thing. Make your money.
Of course.
And maybe she loves him. I kind of doubt it, but whatever. Who knows?
Well, she probably doesn't need money, but she's probably like... like anybody else. She's like, that's Tom Cruise.
Of course.
Like, she had posters on her wall when she was a kid. Like, that's the dude from All the Right Moves.
Right.
Like, that's from, you know, Cocktail.
Yes.
And he wants to bang me? Like, I mean, it'd be like a, you know, like a 30-year-old dude, like, you know, with Jennifer Aniston. Like, go get it.
Yeah.
Like, what, are you kidding me?
People just love to... I crap on Tom Cruise because of his religion, because of his relationships, you know, all that stuff. It's mainly the Scientology
stuff. It is weird how, I mean, it isn't weird, I guess, you know, they probably all run in the same circles. It'd be interesting to figure out how they met. Like, the Ben Affleck and her thing made complete sense. They were in that movie where they were just banging each other constantly.
Yeah.
Deep water, whatever. I'm sure after the movie, like, we should just keep doing this.
Yeah.
And then after a while, they're like... well, that was weird.
Right.
Right? Like,
you come to your senses eventually.
Right. Yeah. But.
And that could be what's going on here.
Yeah, she probably
who knows?
Somewhere.
He's 62. That's not that old.
By the
She's
way, he looks good. And his girlfriend that he was, Mimi Rogers?
Yeah.
Right? They were together forever.
Were they married?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they might have been.
But they were.
She might have been the one who introduced him to the whole thing. I'm not sure.
Anyway, like, you look at him.
I know.
Women, I'm sorry, you're going to get mad at me, but she is the lawyer in Bosch.
Yeah. I've seen her. I didn't know that, but I've seen her.
It took me a while to be like, oh, you look a lot older than Tom Cruise. A lot older.
Well, it's like the...
a lot older.
What's the woman's name from Top Gun? You know, they give...
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Like,
she's unrecognizable, too.
Yeah,
it's yeah, I know. I mean, it sucks.
Man, it is what it is.
And by the way, it's obviously not every dude, and it's not every chick.
No, of course not.
So, you know, it just seems to...
Yeah, but that one, I was like, wow, that was a big difference between Tom Cruise and Top Gun and you now. But right. Top Gun, too. Like, dude looks good.
Right. My thing is...
I don't know what he does, but he looks good.
I mean, he exercises, he lives a rich lifestyle, right?
Yeah, I'm sure
less
he
stress.
Does, too.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Genetics probably plays a huge role in that. But there, people are mad about the age thing. He's 62, she's 36. Okay, people will say, oh, she's only 20 and this guy's in his 50s. And you and I have said it before, change the law if you don't like that. Yeah. They're adults or they're not. I don't understand. But, you know, it's, you're grooming this person or you're taking advantage of them or whatever. Once someone's in their 30s, come on.
Right.
She is not. No one can make the argument that she is a child.
No.
Or that she's too young to understand what's going on. She is not 20 years old. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with a 20-year-old dating a 55-year-old if they want.
Me either.
But... You really, the fact that they're even trying to make that argument, there was a time in our lifetime when we weren't probably up until we were like 20 years old or something like that, when the media wouldn't have even talked about this age difference that much because, you know, oh, there's a guy in his 60s or girl in her 30s, celebrity couple, whatever. It wouldn't have been. And now it's like the shocking age difference. No, it's really not. They're both celebrities. There's probably very few people out there that you can relate to or that you feel like. It means something to impress them because they're not impressed by your celebrity. Your celebrity has no impact on... Now, for her, she can obviously be impressed by his celebrity.
Maybe.
But...
Maybe. I mean, sure.
She's been around a lot of celebrities for a while.
And she is, like, one of the hottest people in the world.
Everybody
wants to date
her.
So it's not like she's like, oh, I couldn't get anyone I wanted. I mean, she clearly can.
Right.
Yeah. So...
I say good. And it's not official. It's just that they've been spotted together a couple times. Looks happy to me. So I say good for them.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
So, the reason I brought up the Tom Cruise thing earlier was because I did have a little bit of Hollywood news. Thought we could just tie these things together. But I failed to mention it. They've announced a couple of big movie remakes that are in the works. I think that this means they're official. And I know that we have some nerdy people, but I'm not saying that in a negative. Just, you know, there's some movie nerds. Certainly, I see you guys discuss things, debate things on Twitch. And I can imagine, without knowing this for sure, I know that on our channel right now, within this chat, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, I'm sure there are some huge Starship Trooper fans. That just seems like one of those movies that people that I seem to run in circles with, there's about one out of three or four that ends up being... I don't know that I've ever seen the whole movie. I was pretty young when
I saw it
out.
As a kid.
There was a nude scene.
There's a nude scene.
And I remember wanting to see the nude scene, so when it would come on a Cinemax...
I didn't know it was coming up. But I would watch it.
Kids at my school talked about
it. I was like
it.
Seven.
Yeah.
It was like... It was, you know, game changing.
It was a big nude scene. It was like that in Species. You remember Species?
Yeah.
So I remember as a kid, when those movies would come on, I'd heard kids at school talk about it. I was shocked when I got older and started talking to people who talked about what a great movie Starship Troopers was. I thought it was known as this terrible movie with a great nude scene. But anyway, it's being remade by the guy who did District 9, Neil Blomkamp.
Oh, District 9 was awesome.
Yeah, what's that guy's name? Isn't it Neil Blomkamp? The guy that did District 9. He's going to do Starship Troopers. But the one that I thought you'd be excited about, Laszlo, do you know who Jenna Ortega is? The girl from Wednesday Addams?
Yeah.
She's in talks to remake Single White Female.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, I don't know. What age do you have to be to... I'm guessing Snow Cone hasn't seen Single White Female.
Nope.
Are you aware of it?
I've heard that term being thrown around before.
But you're aware of the Jennifer Jason Leigh... Like, can you see the movie poster in your head?
No, I know nothing about it. Okay. Not who's in it.
I think Bridget Fonda...
Yeah, that's what
honestly,
I think.
I think of Single White Female. So, and I know people love Jenna Ortega, so that's pretty exciting.
Pretty good.
And so they were talking about the best remakes of all time.
Okay.
And some of these, though, I think about it and I go, oh, yeah, you know, I forgot that was a remake. And then also, I skipped the ones from the 50s and 60s and whatever, because I don't know that crap. But... These are the ones that they say are the greatest remakes of all time. I'm curious if you agree. The Departed was a remake. Did you know that was made before?
It's a
Japanese familiar. Okay.
Japanese movie.
Okay. I guess I would have thought Korean. What was the Korean movie that got remade here around the same time? It was a big movie about a cop who, maybe I'm thinking of this, maybe it was a Japanese movie. True Grit, I do love. Mm-hmm. I know that's not your thing, Laszlo.
No, it's not. But...
I mean, and I know you're not a Western fan. Did you ever try and watch it, though?
Probably not in its entirety, like not to sit down and watch the whole thing.
It's more of a comedy. It's Coen Brothers and I don't know. I think, do you like the Coen Brothers?
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Like Fargo and Raising Arizona and that stuff? I feel like you would like True Grit. So I definitely agree with that one. What's it called? Ocean's 11 is on the list.
Great.
That's one that I forget is a remake. I've never seen the original.
Rat Pack, right?
Yeah. If you ask me who was in the original, I know it's Sinatra, yeah. But I've never honestly seen it. I've thought about it. I added it on a list somewhere at some point. I'm just not good at watching old movies. I try to force myself to watch those staples, you know, like the original Oceans or whatever, and man, I just have a hard time. I can start at about 1971,
yeah,
somewhere around there. It just depends on the movie, but the 70s are fine. To me, the 70s is like modern, and I know that's my age.
No, it's true, though.
But it feels like once you get into the 70s, that's modern.
The same. They feel the same.
They feel much more similar.
Lot, yeah.
Death Wish and that stuff. I can watch all that stuff. If you start going back to the 60s, it gets a little more difficult for me. Again, and these are like the movies that I think people rated the highest on IMDb. So this isn't just like critics loved these. This is what fans and critics liked. 12 Monkeys. Didn't know that was a remake. I'm guessing Snow Cone's never seen 12 Monkeys before. Maybe he has.
No, I'm aware of it. There's like, is Brad Pitt in it?
Yeah, he's in it. Mm-hmm. And what's the whole, the plot is that he's saying there's going to be this,
outbreak,
they think it's going to be this apocalyptic thing and something about the zoo. They're freeing these monkeys from the zoo. I don't remember. Blade Runner 2049. That's not really a remake, but I guess, because it's a sequel, but I guess they consider it one because it's one of those, whatever they call them, reimaginings. Again, I know that's not your thing, Lazo.
No.
Really, but it's great. And Snow Cone, I do know that you like that guy's stuff. You liked
Villeneuve.
Yeah, you liked The Arrival much that you cried.
You liked Dune.
And you liked Dune,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you were brought to tears.
I saw Blade Runner 2049. I never saw the original.
Oh, you did see the new one?
Mm-hmm.
And did you like it?
It's awesome.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I thought you would like it since you liked those other
ones. I saw it because he made it, yeah.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the American version, the Fincher version. Have you ever seen that, Lazo?
No.
That was good. I like that one a lot.
It was so good.
One time, Brooke said something about, she was like, you and your brother, every time you get together, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo comes up. How does that one movie? I was like, no, it doesn't. She's like, so you guys have seriously mentioned it. And I'm like, that doesn't really make any sense. And then I noticed the next time he was about to say something about it, I'm like, excuse me. 310 to Yuma, I do like that.
That's a good movie.
Again, a Western, but one that you've seen and one that you like. Zodiac. I didn't know that that was a remake. That's like speaking of my brother, that's his like favorite movie.
Fincher movie?
Yeah, that's what they said. They said,
it's a remake?
It's on the list. I don't know when the original would have been, but I mean, everything else so far has been right, so you'd have to look to see what that was based on. Maybe it was some sort of made-for-TV thing, because, I don't know. Seems weird that you've got this movie that's about a true-life thing, that there was really no...
Well, it makes sense. There's been more than one Bundy movie, too.
Sure. But for Zodiac,
they've had different dudes play him.
Yeah.
Probably the same thing.
By the way, some of the worst ones, just to throw in here every now and then, Wicker Man. You know, if you're thinking about those movies that were no good. So, actually, one of the movies I saw on the worst was Fright Night. I actually liked Fright Night, though. The remake? I'm guessing you haven't seen either of those. Not your cup of tea.
I saw Wicker Man with Nick Cage.
Yeah. That's
horrible.
Isn't it, though? And because I'm not one of those people that's so bad it's good most of the time. Wicker Man is so bad that it's sort of worth watching. At least parts of? No?
I don't know. I can go with you on some movies, but not that one's just bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
guess
think they're
there's
trying
some scenes
to make
it's worth
it, like,
watching.
So bad it's good.
No, I don't think so either. It's weird. Nicolas Cage, I cannot figure out.
It's,
I can't figure out if he's
Zodiac's
great.
Not a remake.
Okay, well, I don't know why it's on their list of remakes.
Book.
It's on IMDb's list of remakes, so yeah, I'm confused by that. Maybe
I saw a thing, it might have been on Reddit or whatever, but it had like 15 actors, right? From like Ben Affleck to, you know, I don't know, Mark Wahlberg and DiCaprio, like 15 big, huge actors, right?
Yeah.
And Nick Cage was on there, and then it was like, name the best actor out in this group and the worst actor in this group, and the consensus was Nick Cage.
Yeah.
He's the best and the worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just one of those guys you can't figure out, because I know he can be great.
Yeah.
I just mentioned Raising Arizona a little while ago. Yeah. There's
Weatherman.
Stuff that he's great in. Weatherman, he can be great, and then you watch other stuff and you go,
yeah,
is that what he was going for?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like my brother just watched a movie that he did, The Colors Out of Space, or whatever it's called. It's really weird and really disturbing.
The creepy one.
Well, this one was creepy, too. And he did a couple of like scary ones close to one another. And my brother texted me and said, you know, this is a great movie. I still can't decide, though, if Nick Cage is good or bad. Like, he's good. You've seen Raising Arizona. Like, obviously, he's good. Long Legs. He plays a serial killer. Did you watch that?
I didn't, but I want to.
Yeah, I think you would like that one. Best ones, The Mummy. Again, that doesn't feel like your cup of tea, but man, people
love that movie.
And I have to admit, I'm open to the monster movie
stuff. That's one of those that I watched, and then I'm like, I didn't realize that people would love it. I was like, oh, it's fine.
I never watched the Tom Cruise one. I was almost, because people talked about how bad the Tom Cruise version was, I kind of wanted to watch it. And I turned it on at one point because it was streaming somewhere, and I realized it was like 3 hours long. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I don't want to watch it that bad. The Thing, which I'm surprised, but people liked the remake of The Thing. Again, that doesn't, doesn't seem like your type of movie. I don't know what, if you're trying to explain, describe Laszlo's taste. If it's a sports movie, he's seen it.
Yeah.
There's that. If it's a Western, I would say low probability, but not impossible.
I don't like time pieces.
Right. You don't
so
like,
I don't like you
any
know,
sort of period piece.
Yeah, I don't like Westerns. I don't like you know, whatever, what took place in old England. Like,
right.
I'm
Little
like, whatever, women. Don't care.
Yeah. But you like...
I like drama.
You like revenge action, for
I
sure.
Do.
So the cop stuff, the revenge
cop
action stuff,
buddy
stuff,
cop, detective
seen.
Stuff, murder mysteries. I like, you know.
And there's no comedy dumb enough that, to be too dumb for
no,
us.
No, and right? I like, you know, I don't hate rom-coms, you know, done well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really
open.
Really
but like
time
the Carpenter
period stuff.
Horror movies just aren't totally your thing.
No, I mean, if you tell me it's great, then I'll watch it, and I'll be fine with it, but it's not. I don't get overly scared, though, so I think that's why.
I did when I was a kid. You're
I think
always
my
searching
lack
for that?
Of emotion is like, well, I'm like, all right, whatever.
I want to be scared. I was when I was a kid, but it's kind of hard to recapture that as you get
some
older.
Some of them, if they freak me out, like, or if they're just well-written.
They
like
can be unsettling.
I watched that Babadook or whatever.
The
that
Babadook?
Thing.
Yeah, the
I thought that was great because I was like... I thought it was great because it was actually just like, no, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to figure it out, and at the end, they're like, no, there really is just some sort of weird thing stuck in the basement. I'm like, oh, well, that's an interesting take.
The simpler, the better a lot of times with horror movies. And I get what you... I know a lot of people like you.
They're like, oh, are there aliens? Like, oh, there are. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like the clip with the found footage, right, you did a good job with that. I think my brothers are almost all in the same camp where it's like, they'll watch it if people are saying it's great and you got to see it. Mm. But there's only a couple of us that'll sit and watch. Yeah, that I'll just, I watch them and I love them. And yeah, like Dawn of the Dead, that made the list of one of the best remakes of all time. That's, for whatever reason, I like horror movies, zombie shows. I don't know why. I think I might like that Last of Us show on HBO if I gave it a shot. Isn't that the name of it?
I think so.
Or is that? That's the name of the Blake Lively thing.
Last of Us.
Oh, the Blake Lively thing was It Ends With Us, right? Yeah, Last of Us. Is there a new season of that?
By the way, Blake
Lively
is coming out of town. I forgot how hot she was.
I know.
You forget how hot she is in that movie.
Yeah, I saw it not too terribly long ago. So.
You're like, oh, I forgot how
it's
hot
it's something
you are.
Else. Yeah. The accent, the outfits. Mm-hmm. If you were trying to create like a.
Tell me you love it.
Perfect.
Tell me you love it. And Ben Affleck's like,
she's incredible. And the one that I saved is, I think, probably the one that we all three could agree is the greatest remake. Now, they call it a remake. It was really based on a play, but since it's on the list, I'll take it. The Birdcage.
Oh, yeah, right?
So if we're calling that a remake, then yeah, hands down, greatest remake of all time.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo! Well, the news. Mentioned this earlier, but the Idaho murder case, the thing's supposed to finally go to trial this summer. I think July, is that right, Snowcone? It's been... years, I mean, those
August.
Murders, August now? God, the murders happened in 2022, but the trial's finally going to start, supposedly, in a few months, and there's been stuff trickling out, I guess really ever since the murders, we've been getting sporadic updates, and now the big thing over the weekend is the 911 call. They had released transcripts of some of this stuff, including text messages that the witnesses, or whatever you want to call them, were sending to friends and stuff like that. I know Snowcone... read those very quickly. I don't know if we discussed those on the air or not, but the media had been trying to get a hold of the actual 911 calls, and there had been a gag order, and they couldn't have them forever and ever and ever, and now finally, because some of the stuff was released in these transcripts, they've released the audio from the 911 calls. So, I don't know. Laszlo and I both feel kind of torn about some of this. Like, why do we need to hear it? At least in this instance, I've heard worse. I've heard, like you said earlier, where you hear a mother... come home and find your kid dead or whatever. I just feel really wrong listening to that. So these are their roommates, right, Snowcone? Or they're friends and roommates.
Yeah.
And they're worried that their friends aren't waking up. She's passed out. She won't wake up. They don't know yet that there's been a murder. But they do know at this point that someone had said they'd seen someone in the house the night before, right, Snow Cone? My timeline's a little confused, but that friend who had said that she saw someone and that he was wearing, like, a ski mask, yes, all that, in those texts, did she text that to her friends before these 911 calls happened? It's somewhere around the same time, right?
Yes, she was texting. So there's a roommate on the second floor, that's Dylan, who saw the alleged perpetrator or whatever, and then there's Bethany on the first floor, which he never went down to the first floor. So she is texting Bethany downstairs saying, hey, I just saw some guy, and we can't get a hold of our roommates.
And Dylan's the one on the phone. They know that the dispatcher gets upset.
Dylan is who calls 911 originally.
They get it. The dispatcher's upset. She's like, quit handing the phone off. I've talked to like 14 right. people now, and eventually the phone
so
is in Dylan's
originally
hands.
Dylan, and she passes it to a neighbor at some point, and the neighbor passes it to Hunter, who was Ethan, a victim's best friend. He's the one who came over and actually found
them. Yeah, and you hear him telling these girls over the 911 call, get out. Get out, get out. And at that point, the 911 dispatcher still doesn't really know what's going on.
K-911 location of your emergency.
Something is happening. Something happened in our house. We don't know what.
What is the address of the emergency?
1122.
Tell me exactly what's going on.
One of the roommates has passed out, and she was drunk last night, and she's not waking up.
Okay.
Oh, and they saw some man in their house last night.
Okay, I need to know what's going on right now if someone has passed out. Can you find that out?
Yeah, I'll come. Come on, but you gotta go check.
Okay, so now she's saying, all right, yeah, we'll go in there, and then you'll hear the kids, the guy's voice in a second where he's telling them to get out.
What's wrong? She's not waking up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, I need someone to stop passing the phone around because I've talked to 4 different people.
Okay, sorry, they just gave me the phone.
Is she breathing?
No.
I am interested in the 911 dispatcher's tone in these calls sometimes because they do seem to get upset more often than I'd like, or frustrated. And this is,
but what did this guy see?
It's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, what
because
is...
Because they're obviously, they should be very bloody at this point.
Right, and he didn't say anything about that. She's like, is she breathing? He said no. Like, what does he see?
Okay, so they make the call from the outside originally, and the dispatcher's like, hey, you need to go check and see if they're breathing.
Right, right.
Okay, so they go back in, and you can hear the way the house is laid out. They go on the first floor, they go up the stairs to where Zaina, who they see, but the way that she's laid out is she's probably like 20, 25 feet away. And so I'm guessing what it sounds like is the girls stayed on the phone. Hunter walks over to her to see what's going on. And really, I mean, you probably just see her laying on her side. Like, we're not sure where she was found, technically, but
is
she's probably laying on the side. It shouldn't be. I mean, it's
really in the middle of the day. Breathing then.
So yeah. He goes over.
Yeah, but they say she's not breathing.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's confusing.
So how does she know?
So I'm guessing, you know, they at some point saw her, yelled her name. You can hear them in the 911 call yelling. Zaina, Zaina, Zaina. And then you can hear Hunter kind of far away saying, get out.
Get out. Get out.
So that's how does she know? How do the girls know she's not breathing?
I think by the time she says she's not breathing, I think by that point, at least I got the impression that then they knew she was bloody and dead. Well, I don't. There is more of this audio. Yeah. There's a little bit
that's
more.
Confusing,
but it's really hard
like
to hear.
If I would have walked in, I'm like, hey, Snow Cone's passed out. He's not right. Getting up. I'm like, well, go in and see if he's breathing. And she's like, is he breathing? I'm like, no. I would mention that he had been stabbed.
Yeah, if you saw blood.
And that there's blood everywhere. I wouldn't just be like, yeah, no, not, he's not breathing.
Yeah, I don't think they
saw. It seems like that's pertinent information.
Yeah.
So how do they know she's not breathing then?
Yeah, they didn't.
I don't know. I don't think they saw.
They didn't know that she was bloody at first, that's for sure. If they knew by the end of that call where they start saying, you know,
but
is she alive?
But if you don't
alive,
know
no.
She's bloody.
Yeah.
Then how do you know she's not breathing?
That's what I'm saying. It'd have to be
right.
A dark room, and you go up and you put your hand on their back, and they're not breathing. That's what I'm saying. It would have to
be
dark, right?
It's not the bottom of the ocean.
Right. I don't know. I really don't know. It's a little confusing as to why it took them. And I'm not upset with them. I'm not accusing them of anything. But it is a little confusing, the timeline of events.
And how they didn't see blood, or they didn't mention blood. Like
And it's so clear to me.
And there was enough blood in that house.
It
was coming
out of
the
walls.
So
it was leaking out of the walls.
It feels like something you would know.
And
you would say.
He says.
Like, if I were to ask you, is Snow Cone breathing? I feel like instead of just no, you'd be like, no. There's blood
covered
everywhere.
In blood.
Right.
Yes, covered in blood. I think he's dead. And when you hear that guy's voice say, get out, get out, I assume that he's now seen blood.
Right.
So why is it when he gets on the phone, when the phone's handed to him, I'm a little confused why he isn't like, no, there's blood everywhere.
Yeah, right.
They're dead.
I think what people have kind of agreed upon is that he was kind of protecting the girls in that moment. Like, he didn't want to say, yeah, they're dead, they've been stabbed. Because these two girls would lose their mind. They're already freaking out, you know. So it seems like he's kind of, hey, you guys need to get here. Like, he knew what was going on, but he wasn't going to freak the girls out.
It'd be tough when you're talking to dispatchers, like, what is going on? Is the person breathing?
Right.
And I guess he just says, I think she's dead, right? So, I mean, I suppose that's, it's possible.
That's kind of the agreed upon narrative, I think, right now, is that he was protecting them.
Okay. Well, I don't know what other giant news story there's supposed to be about this between now and the trial starts.
And I don't know if he saw Ethan at that point.
Yeah, they make it sound like, for sure, you're only hearing about one girl, right?
They were close together, so I don't know if he saw Ethan as well, but, I mean, he just found out his best friend was killed.
It sounds in that moment, from the parts you can make out, like they're talking about one person in particular, right?
Yeah, Xana.
And that's a Xana girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they never go to the third floor, which is where Kaylee and Maddie were.
And what? So where was Xana? On the floor in the hallway?
The way the PCA reads is that when they approached the room down the hallway, she was laying in front of the door in the hallway.
Okay, so she's not in a bedroom.
In the bedroom. She's like directly in front of her bedroom, is what it sounds like, but I don't know, you know.
Well, you watched that CGI reconstruction thing on YouTube.
Yeah. I know Alex.
I know. If you're laying on the floor.
Girls wouldn't be like, if she was like, is she breathing? Why'd they be like, well, I don't know, let me see. Be like, she's bloody.
Well, if it's a college, I guess in a college atmosphere, could you pass it on the floor drunk?
From the top of the stairs to where her room would be is probably 20, 25 feet. If she's, you know, turned over on her side, on her back.
Well, then why would they be scared to get close,
though? If you don't see the blood, then how do you know she's not breathing?
I don't know.
And why would you be scared to approach her?
Right.
You're going to have to get close.
And if you said she was drunk and didn't get up, like, I wouldn't be. If I was like, Slim got wasted last night,
yeah,
and he won't get up, I'd go in there like, is he breathing? I'd go towards him. If I saw blood, I'd say like, there's blood everywhere.
You would try and shake me before you call 911. That's the thing. If you saw me on the floor, you're like, I think he's passed
out. There's something weird about it.
You get close enough that you start trying to shake me to wake me up. Well, you know, maybe this plays into your confusion.
Well, I don't have any theory. It's just that, you know, I don't know if the guy did it or he didn't do it, but nothing just seems as it is. Right? Like, and I'm not saying that the guy didn't do it. Maybe they saw it earlier and maybe they thought, they took time to report it because they thought it seems like somebody was trying to hide something, but it could have been that they were trying to hide something that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sounds like to me when I was in high school and something horrible happened, but I did something tertiary to that, mm-hmm, which could also get me in trouble, so I lie a little bit to get myself out of this.
Yeah.
But then as you're talking to people, you're like, this is really starting to make no sense.
Right.
And people are like, why? What? And it's...
People do it with the cops all the time.
You're having this big conspiracy when there shouldn't be if you would just say, you know, I did something.
I was driving drunk.
Right.
Okay. Yes, I was driving.
Right.
I was driving. All right.
I cheated on my girlfriend with her and had sex with her. That's why there's... Right? Like, yeah. But you keep that part out and people are like, wait, what?
Yep. You see,
why?
It happen a lot with police stuff.
And that's what this whole thing feels like to me.
I just don't get how you don't go up to the person and try to shake them before you call 911. If you think someone's passing on the floor, I don't call 911 until I physically tried to stir them, right? I'm trying to wake them up, and now they won't wake up. Now I call 911, but maybe it's dark and I can't see. The U.S. has launched airstrikes in Yemen, Lazo. The Houthis, that sounds like some NPR stuff, doesn't it? The United States Air Force has launched airstrikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen for... Aren't they Houthi rebels? Houthi? Am I saying it wrong?
I don't know.
It's killed at least 30 people. And the president said the Houthis have waged an unrelenting campaign of piracy, violence, and terrorism, and have choked off shipping in one of the most important waterways in the world. Watching the airstrikes from his Florida home, the president also said he would use, quote, overwhelming lethal force to stop the Houthi attacks on ships in the region. He also warned Iran they would be held, quote, fully accountable for Houthi actions.
Does he go to Mar-a-Lago every weekend? I remember some of this coming up in the first administration. The people talking about how expensive it was. Okay.
Because I saw something like he won something. Or he said he won? I don't know. So he was golfing somewhere. I think maybe he won some sort of tournament or something.
I mean, if you've got a place that nice, and you're getting up there in age, you got this four-year stint where now you're living in the house. I'm not saying the White House isn't nice, but it's like a museum, I imagine, right?
Right.
I can understand wanting to go back. It's like, wanting to go home on the weekends from your college dorm,
Right? Hey, everybody wants to work remote nowadays.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
He doesn't need to be in the White House to do his job.
Right. They call, what do they call it? The second White House or something like that? So I just was curious if that was something that he's still known for doing, like if he's there every weekend. I feel like I've seen quite a few things where he's down there. And also, Trump today is supposedly getting ready to speak with Putin, or maybe he's speaking with him right now. I don't know. Trying to bring peace to
President
Ukraine.
Trump preparing to speak with President Putin as he pushes for a ceasefire.
I'll be speaking to President Putin on Tuesday. And a lot of work's been done over the weekend. We want to see if we can bring that war to an end. Maybe we can, maybe we can't, but I think we have a very good chance.
Okay, he's talking to him tomorrow on Tuesday. Today's only Monday. So he's going to talk to him tomorrow, and hopefully that means
peace,
you know. We can stomp out the Houthis, bring down prices.
Houthis.
Yeah, they keep messing up those cargo ships. That's been going on for a while, right?
The Houthis.
Take out the Houthis. Get that over with. Warn Iran, you know, that if they support these Houthis.
Bend the knee to Putin and let's go.
Exactly. Let's get moving here.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo!
All right.
All right, so this missing American student in the Dominican. She's presumed dead at this point. They think she probably drowned. And there's this Josh Ribby guy, depending on who's saying it. And he's a person of interest. He's not a suspect. He's still down there on the island. And remember in the beginning when they first said they had this guy, there were, depending on which website you went to, different outlets had slightly different stories. Like, they were on the beach kissing, and then later other ones would say they're in the water. Because, well, it turns out this whole thing came from one transcript that was in Spanish. Someone took the time to translate it, and I guess the others just played a game of telephone and reported.
Okay.
So it does seem like now at least there's some consistency with the story, which is that this student, she's on spring break with her friends. They are at this resort. They're drinking at a bar. It's late at night. There's been a couple new videos released, actually, from this bar late at night. You can see her, kind of looks like maybe she's thrown up. You see her at the bar. You see her step way over into the grass behind the bar, and she's bending over. I don't know. You can also see in that video, they say it's Josh Ribby, this person of interest. But they don't appear to be together at that point in time. You also see him later hunched over in the grass in kind of the same area. And they don't say that he's puking, but I'm like, looks like he's puking. And his friends
like
are kind of helping him.
There.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But maybe I just thought, looks like they're puking, and I'm the only one. Later on, you do see video, or we've at least seen images from video, of Josh Ribby and Konanke, the missing girl, together. We know that all the friends went down to the beach. This is after 4 a.m. Most of the friends came home sometime after 5 a.m. or came back to their hotel room. But Josh and Konanke did not come back. By the time he comes back later that morning, he's seen on surveillance video by himself. So once they got a hold of that footage, of course, police down there wanted to talk to him. I'm sure the FBI wanted to talk to him as well and wanted to get his story. Turns out he's a student from the University of Minnesota or something, originally from Iowa. He's a senior, and he had never met Konanke before this. It looks like they'd met up that evening, probably for the first time. And they had been drinking, and he gave a statement. That statement, like I said, has now been a little more consistent in its translation, which is that they go down to the beach together. They're in the water. The water is about waist deep, and they're making out. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's when the wave hits them and apparently pulls them out to see whatever underwater a little bit. He had some lifeguard experience, but he said to the police, I had pool lifeguard experience, not ocean lifeguard experience. And he says that he helped get this girl out of the water. He pulls himself up to the beach. He sees her. He thinks she's far enough out of the water. At this point, she's at about knee deep, maybe, very shallow water. He asks her if she's okay. She doesn't respond. He throws up because he's vomiting water that he's supposedly aspirated. When he turns around again to look for her, she's not there. So that's when he thinks she must have picked up her stuff and left. She must be gone. And that's when he passes out and falls asleep. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's when he falls asleep. Wakes up, She's nowhere. He didn't think too much of it at that point in time.
Early Sunday morning, the man who may have been the last person with Sudiksha Kunanki was back on the beach. Only this time, 22-year-old Joshua Reby was with Dominican Republic investigators who are still searching for the University of Pittsburgh junior more than 11 days after she disappeared. Hours before walking the beach with authorities, Reby exclusively told NBC News, "I'm just trying to help them out," adding the ocean is a dangerous place.
Wait, what?
I'm just trying to help. So Josh says he's just trying to help out the police. I'm just trying to help everybody out.
Who does he say that to?
I think that's just, let's go back and make sure that I don't get this wrong.
Days after she disappeared, hours before walking the beach with authorities, Reby exclusively told NBC News.
I'm just trying to help out the police.
Right.
So, but the police have taken away his passport and stuff. It would seem that he's not allowed to leave, and his parents have accused Dominican officials of detaining him under what they call irregular conditions, saying that he didn't have a translator, didn't have legal counsel, and that's something I was talking about this on Twitch when you stepped out to smoke, but if this guy is innocent, what a horrible situation to be in where you don't speak the language, the police who are in charge sounds like maybe don't speak a whole lot of your language. I don't know. And you don't know your rights. Lazo, you've talked in the past about just going to Canada and saying, I want my lawyer. And they're like, that's not how that works here.
Right. They said that to me. I've been arrested in Canada. I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
I want a lawyer and I want my phone call. And they're like, you're in Canada, idiot.
Yep.
And I was like, oh.
In Canada, they're allowed to keep talking to you. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to go talk to your lawyer. They can give you advice like, hey, don't say much or don't say anything. But you still have to come back and cops can keep asking you questions. It's not like in the United States where they have to shut the whole thing down after that. So it sounds to me like at this point, I mean, we know he's a person of interest, but he can't
leave.
His
attorneys allege his passport has been confiscated. He is permanently escorted by the police anywhere he goes, and he is not free to leave. The U.S. State Department and Dominican authorities have not confirmed if Reby is officially being kept in the country.
Sure sounds like it to me, if that's what they're saying. Right. I mean, I don't know why the officials wouldn't put out a statement and say, yeah, we're not letting him leave yet, you know? But they did, like I say, translate this thing and get the story. Now it seems like everyone's on the same page with this story, and it answered a few of our questions, like the, you know, seeing that she's not there, seeing her stuff, thinking that she grabbed her stuff. That had bothered you and I last week. Why did she think she picked up her stuff if she didn't pick up her stuff? Well, it's in the moment that he turns and thinks she's left, it's like right as he's throwing up this water, right? And then he falls asleep.
He says their group had been drinking shots of pink tequila. Then he says they went to the beach with friends, the two of them winding up in waist-deep water before a big wave swept us out to sea. Reby says they almost drowned, although he eventually got Kunanki to shore. While they were still in knee-deep water, he says, I asked if she was okay. I didn't hear her answer because I started vomiting all the seawater I'd swallowed. After vomiting, I looked around and didn't see anyone. I thought she'd grabbed her things and left.
What if this guy doesn't remember much of anything? I mean, it's like a nightmare. Because if you've ever drank enough to black out, just imagine you're in another country. This girl's missing. You gotta have something, and maybe you do remember a few pieces, but what if he doesn't? I saw these videos that they're posting that one of these Dominican news outlets was posting on Instagram, and he looks very intoxicated. And you heard him saying they're drinking pink tequila. And it's 4 something in the morning. So just imagine, you wake up, you're like, you're dazed, you're hungover, you go back to your hotel room. You don't think much of it because you figure she left. Maybe you don't even really remember exactly how the night ended. What were we doing last night? I can just imagine those times you've been at a resort and you've got that cloudy memory of the night before. Like, I remember going to that pina colada machine in the woods there. Did we do something after that? You know, there's a lot of missing pieces.
I feel like you'd remember the
vomiting and the... Yeah, you said that would wake you up pretty quickly.
Like, if you thought you were drowning, at least I feel like you remember, like, I grabbed her and pulled her in.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows?
I know. I mean, I really say this is a...
The story sounds to make sense to me.
It's believable enough.
Yeah.
But I have the suspicion that if they... Because they're not even officially saying whether or not he's allowed to leave the country, I just wonder what other information they have that the media hasn't gotten a hold of yet. I mean, the police have been talking to him for a long time. He's been out there. They're trying to recreate this. If he's out there today again on the beach with the investigators, I guess going over the story again.
Right.
I'm very curious. I don't know how long this sort of thing takes, but how many days they say it's been now? 11 days, something like that? I mean, at this point, we all assume she has perished, right?
Correct.
And that she's probably in the water somewhere. They have tried to secure that area in case her body shows up so that it can't go too far out to sea. I mean, but would they have found her by now if they were going to find her? I don't know enough about water or deaths. I know they said that you sink at first when you drown because your lungs fill with water.
Whatever they would find now, what information would it give you?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, even like Snow Cones were saying, like, you know, traumatic blunt force to the head. Well, that could happen in the ocean. Like, whatever. Like, you know.
Yep. Don't know.
There's no, I can't imagine anything that they could find on her body would be like, oh, well, he did this.
No, it would just give the parents some finality, like she is, in fact, gone, right?
Yeah.
Which they probably know.
No, my only question would be, I feel like he's probably telling the truth. I do. Like, the way the story plays out, it feels like it, you know, there's no, like, I'm sure they checked him. There's no, you know, defensive wounds, or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they have, unless they tell us that there was some of that, but they haven't, and I feel like they would. So, you know, the only question, you know, maybe is, like, did he try to help at all?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's where, like, again, we talk about, like, you lied just a little bit, and then it sounds weird because you're like, oh, I got her to the shore, and she was in knee-deep water, and I said, are you okay? And then I passed out, and they're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Why? What, that part right there. Where you could just be like, yeah, that thing took us out to sea, and I swam in.
Yeah.
I don't know that broad.
Right.
You know, and like, but you don't want to say that.
I could barely get myself back to the beach.
Right, but you don't want to say that.
Right.
Now that's really bad. They're like, oh, really, let's talk about it. So you're like, all right, got her in, and then I passed out. Like,
I have a feeling they're going to give us more, that maybe there are defenses, something, that they have information, media doesn't have a hold of it yet. Like I said, I don't know how long that takes to get, but he's been down there a while, and imagine if you're his family. I know it's, imagine her family, it's horrible, of course. If you're his family, though, talking about how they feel like he's being treated irregularly. They don't want to say illegally because they don't know, right?
Right.
I don't know what the rules are in the Dominican.
But I don't know how seems you get a irregular. Lawyer.
Yeah, they said that he hasn't had counsel with them. There's no translators.
And I don't know how you hire a lawyer.
Right.
Right? Like, you hire a lawyer, but you're like, oh, this is a good one. You're like, okay, and then you find out, like,
you
know,
the bar in the Dominican.
6 months later, he's the police chief's brother.
Right,
you're like,
well, that, exactly.
Right? Like, all that is just, like, you don't have anybody to steer you in the right direction that you can trust. I mean, if this happens in, even if you're from Kansas and it happens to California, you can talk to people. You know what I mean? And people be like, yeah, don't hire that guy.
Right.
Right? And someone would help you walk you through this, where there, you're like, I don't know anything.
Nothing. It's a foreign country.
That's why I don't travel to foreign countries.
I know you don't.
I don't. That could happen.
You've been warning
us
forever.
At any point.
I know you've been trying to tell us.
You end up in a
get drunk and go swimming
in prison, and
who knows?
We're like, well, I don't know what this like.
What if your kids wanted to go to spring break in the Dominican?
No.
Okay.
No. What
certainly
are you,
not
an idiot?
Now. I don't know. I'm just asking.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, technology and baseball.
Yeah.
In the minor leagues, they've been using technology for a while.
Mm-hmm. And they try all different kinds of things, too.
Yeah. They've had that strike board, whatever it is. It's got the light up there. I don't remember which light means what.
Right.
It's green or whatever. But it lights up and lets the hitter know if that was a strike or a ball. And there was a lot of talk for a while. It was a big thing on Real Sports on HBO a few years back, probably been more like 10 years now. But this debate about should they implement this in Major League Baseball, because umps can famously make some bad calls that can turn a game around. And so I was always for it. And then you explained to me, Lazo, here's the thing. The umps are part of the game.
Right.
They're an important part. It's a human game played by humans,
right,
involving humans, and that you like having that.
I do.
Element.
I know there's people say, like, just get the calls right. Let the players play and get the calls right. And I understand that argument. I also, you know, understand the argument of, like, hey, you know, if it's close, you got to swing. Because, you know, the umps can make a mistake. Like, I think that's a good part of baseball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, two strikes, if it's close, you got to swing.
Right.
Like, that's part of the game. You've heard about it ever since you were a kid, you know? If it's close, choke up, swing, you know? And now this would, you know, would take away from that to some degree.
Well, and it's fun watching hitters and players yelling at umps sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Getting in their faces and screaming. I feel like this is a good happy medium, what they've been testing out in spring training. So this is called ABS, and we've already seen it used a couple of times. It's allowing teams to challenge the call, an ump's call, and you can do it twice per game. Mm-hmm. So when they have a challenge, I think it has to be the hitter, the catcher. Can the pitcher challenge it too?
So it must be, but maybe Maybe the pitcher points to the catcher to do it. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I think, though, that they say, he might even say in this clip that all three of them can. Whoever it is that wants to challenge, they just tap their head, right? Mm-hmm. After the call, they go, bump, bump, hit their head. And then it uses, they were calling it artificial intelligence earlier, but it's using computers and cameras, right? And it's going to show the batter, I guess, and it's going to show the audience watching it at home and in the stadium where the ball was in the strike zone,
right,
or outside of the strike zone, depending. And they'll get two of these, and if it's wrong, they'll overturn it. And that happened. There was a Yankee spring training game the other day. He would have been out. They challenged it, ended up getting like a two-run homer, and I think they came back.
So Cole Reagan said the other day and challenged a strike and walked off because he knew it was a strike, which I thought was pretty badass.
Like a bat flip.
Yeah,
of,
he threw it, and he was like, you know, ball four or whatever, and he was like, walked off, and they were like, oh, strike three, you're out.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I mean, I do like the argument with the umps, but
slammed
that's
the ball down, was like, boom.
Just walk off. It's like not turning around to look at the explosion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And we're going to have a challenge here from the catcher.
Right now, Major League Baseball is using spring training to test an automated ball strike system, or ABS, which lets players challenge an umpire's pitch call. Only the pitcher, catcher, or batter can challenge by tapping their head right after the umpire's call. Then, within seconds, using a series of cameras around the field, the program shows the fans at the ballpark or watching on TV where the pitch crossed the plate.
Okay, I feel like this is...
Yeah,
great.
I like it. Yeah,
what's wrong with this? You get two per game. I do like the idea of getting things right. And if there's something egregious and it can cost you a game, that's really frustrating. When you see a ball that's way outside and then it gets called a strike and that, you know, and you don't know what would have happened. You'll never know. But you do know that that was a bad call and that 99 times out of 100, that call will go the other way. It's frustrating. I don't like it in any sport. I don't like it in football. In any sport that I enjoy watching, I want them to get it right. We know that they could use, in 2025, cameras and technology to basically get every call right. I mean, hell, in football, they could have sensors in the football that tells them exactly how far the ball made it before it touched the ground, all those things.
You know, that's an interesting thing. That's a whole different conversation. Now, I heard people talking about that, the GPS in the ball to see where it goes to see if it gets a first down.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and it was just so obvious, somebody else was like, well, yeah, but it wouldn't tell you where the guy's knee was.
Right. You have to have sensors on the players.
Yeah.
Yep, they have to have clocks, and then they said, so the ball would have to have its chip has GPS and a clock. Then the players have to have sensors on their pads.
It's too much.
Well, but it's probably doable.
Yeah,
it's just,
but why?
You know.
At that point.
Is it too perfect? You know, it's like at this point, I remember when they did the... smart puck in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
And people freaked out. Yeah. And it was just for fans at home watching on TV.
I didn't mind it. It had the little blue blurry thing.
Yeah, it had a tracer on it. And the harder the puck was hit, the bigger the tracer, so you could see where the puck was. Because especially before HD, it was hard to see where the puck was. So people don't like change when it comes to sports. That's the biggest hurdle you've got to overcome.
Someone from our Twitch, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. Tennis has been doing it forever.
Have they?
We've seen that little ball. Yeah, they do like a shadow, and they're like, oh, that was out.
Okay.
And the guy can challenge it, you know.
And they get a limited number probably per match or whatever?
Yeah, and I just think, you know, I don't know. There's parts of me, I go back to that Armando Galarraga or whatever his name is, the Tigers pitcher who had the perfect game.
Mm.
He had it. Like, they've done documentaries about it. He pitched a perfect game. Like, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's really rare, a perfect game. And then on the last play, they called the dude safe, and he was out by, like, a foot.
Yeah, that's...
And then the next day is just like, sorry, man. Like, I felt horrible about it. There's nothing we can do. It's not reviewable. It is what it is.
Yeah, even if he changed his mind.
Right,
That's the thing that's really frustrating.
Like,
you can watch a slow-motion replay. This has happened in football for years, and you go, look at that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing they could do about it. Because the call on the field was a call on the field. And you're like, but wait, the referee agrees that it was the wrong call.
Yeah.
I don't like that. It's frustrating. But... I also understand that people don't like change when it comes to sports. They're very skeptical, at least, of change. To me, this whole idea of you get a challenge, if you're right, you retain the challenge. What's wrong with that?
Well, no. All right. So I like the challenge. I'm fine with the challenge. It's fine. Because then you're going to have to be strategic about it, too, if it's one out.
Yeah. Because if you're wrong, you lose one of your challenges.
And so, And then, you know, it's got to be in an important part of the game to challenge a strike. So. I also think with all this information, they do have it. They have umpire scorecards, if you've ever seen them. If you look it up, they're really cool. It'll be like, this guy got 89% of the calls right on strike. With this, I think they should hold the umpires more accountable. So Angel Hernandez or whatever was known for being just horrible, just really bad.
Okay.
I think at the end of the day, they should be like, here is all the cameras and every call you made. And if you don't make 95% of the calls correctly, you get, you know, three more chances. And if not, then you're moved down probation to the minor leagues.
I'm fine with that.
Right? Just like players.
Yep.
You know, we have this thing like you can't punish the umpires for being bad. Well, why not? We punish players for being bad all the time.
Yeah.
And so if there is some human element to it, then I think the umpires should be able to go up and down with the majors and the minors too, depending on how good they do their job.
I'm fine with that. And in the minor
interesting,
leagues.
You know, the other part of this is, and kind of off the subject, trying to make baseball, you know, more popular.
Yeah.
That's really what they're doing. Try to get it right, make it more popular. The challenge is, it's fun to watch, too.
Yeah.
The guy taps his head, like, that's fun. Now, was it a strike? Was it not a strike? It's going to be fun to watch. That adds intrigue to it. I just look at the Savannah Bananas, and I see them go to all these stadiums, and just, you can't get a ticket. There are hundreds of dollars on the resale market, and I'm like, it ain't baseball.
Yeah.
And I know the Savannah Bananas are doing a bunch of different stuff and adding stuff to it. And it's almost like the Harlem Globetrotters. But there's a part of me that's like,
so that's still popular?
Baseball, you should look at that. Like, yeah. They are selling a ton of tickets when players aren't nearly as good.
Yeah.
Like, see what they're doing, you know? I get the challenge and everything else, but is there other stuff you could incorporate from what they're doing to make the game more fun and interactive for people?
I definitely like the scorecard. And in the minor leagues, whenever they did that Real Sports thing, they talked about how they already had the cameras in there. So I do like the idea of, as a fan, at the very least, you know for sure that that ump got it wrong.
Yeah.
Or right, when you were mad. So that way you can all say, yeah, we said he was wrong, and look, right, we now know he was wrong. And then,
and the
like
truth
you
of
say,
matter is, they're
catches
right
up
more than you think.
Yeah,
you know,
they're pretty
you
good
think
at
they're
it
wrong. They're pretty good at their job most of the time, most of them.
But go ahead, and if enough complaints are
right
coming out about this one guy, then maybe we do go look at a scorecard.
Right.
How accurate is this guy? I do like the idea of at least knowing, for our own sake, to know for sure, yes, I was right. He was safe. He was, right, whatever. That was a strike.
And at the end of the game, they could post, you know, like part of the game review that the announcers do is like, here's the calls that the umpires got wrong throughout the game.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo! Well, you know, Laszlo, it's interesting you're talking about that show because that will come up in this discussion we're about
Adolescence
to have.
Adolescence?
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know,
the new Netflix British crime drama thing. Yep.
Yeah.
I'd say the big thing is it's kind of like a play. Each episode is like...
Yeah, from what I know, it's all one shot.
Certainly looks like one shot.
Right. And it's kind of like each episode, I think there's four of them, each one is done from, you know, the one's the cops...
Doing the
second one is like the kid. The third one, you know, whatever. And the fourth one, the parents.
Yeah.
And they're living without the kid.
Yep.
Because he's in jail.
Yeah.
And it's not like a murder mystery because, you know, like within the first 20 minutes, they tell you, like, you know, this is what happened.
It
so then it's
like
why did it happen?
Pretty impressive acting. That guy from Snatch, I don't know his name.
Oh, he was great.
But man, he was good.
The dad, he nailed it.
Yeah, he's really, really good. So. I know this would be weird, but this, in a weird way, this does show up on this article here in this conversation. We were talking about hobbies a couple weeks ago that men hide because they're embarrassed, and someone sent me this, and it's, here's the stuff that guys can be into that women find the most and least attractive,
okay,
right? So the least attractive, I'll just start at the bottom and work my way up. Number 10 is makeup. I don't know a lot of guys who are into makeup, but I've heard of it, right?
Sure.
Number 9 is crypto. I guess chicks aren't into that. Number 8 is cigars. Yeah. You know, cigars, what's wrong with that? It seems kind of traditional, old-fashioned. You go to a cigar bar, sit on a leather couch, drink some scotch. I was never into cigars, but...
I don't know why it would make...
Why do girls not like it?
Women find it unattractive. I mean, it's clearly a man thing.
Masculine thing,
I mean,
right?
I know women do it, but that, you know what I mean? It's really kind of a, you know, let's go outside and have a cigar.
Yeah, that one surprised me. Maybe they just don't like the smell of it. Yeah. I don't know. Clubbing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that could be a hobby,
sure.
But sure, I guess it can. Weed, if weed becomes your hobby, they don't have a problem with guys who smoke weed. They have a problem with guys who, that it becomes their thing. They've got weed flags on the wall.
Yeah, I feel like all of these, with the exception of cigars, was stuff you define yourself with.
No kidding.
You know, like crypto guys are crypto guys.
Right.
No, that's all they talk about.
Yeah. You want people to know this right. is who you are and who
and
you
hang
with.
And the weed thing, too. Like, if it gets too far, just like, you know, I smoke weed. I love weed. You know, I have hemp pants. Like, it
all your music is
you,
weed.
Right.
Yeah, everything. I thought this was weird. I don't know if this is a joke or not. But right in the middle of the list for least attractive, they have Funko, which is the company that makes those big-headed dolls. That if guys oh, yeah. collect those things,
I do know yeah.
that they
that
find that unattractive.
Weird,
I've never known a guy who I thought those were. I don't know for kids. I guess
think they're more like you know people that go to conventions. Like,
yeah,
kind of, you know,
yeah, comic
I think
books,
teenagers
yeah, okay.
do like Pokemon cards and stuff. Like kids collect
yeah.
them.
It's,
I think
it's
they collect them
so
like
high.
Baseball cards, like we used to.
Well, there must be plenty if it's a fifth. Thing on the list mm-hmm. is collecting those Funko dolls. Number four is arguing with people online
oh, yeah.
slash bitching about things online. So writing a lot of reviews, criticizing yeah. things, whatever. But being mostly a troll. Again, is that a hobby? That's more of a
yeah.
personality trait, but it can become a hobby,
I
suppose.
I think so, yeah, if you're out there looking for it.
Number three, internet porn and porn in general, if that becomes a hobby. Okay.
I don't know if it's a hobby. It's more of a compulsion.
It does feel like something that I'm not trying to define my life with, but
no.
God is. Right? Because
yeah.
there's
or,
a difference.
Yeah,
the cigars, are, like, I want you to know that I like cigars, even though I don't actually like cigars.
Yeah,
whatever.
And I don't know, like, you know, we talk about hobby or whatever, but a lot of, again, most of that stuff you mentioned was stuff that you bring up.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to, like
yeah.
in conversation. If you're a crypto guy... You know, you're out to dinner, you're like, well, let me tell you what, you know, I don't want to tell you too much, but buy Bitcoin, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know if, like, you're a porn guy, if you're just out to dinner, you're like, I tell you what, seven times a day. Like, I don't
right.
know if you say that.
I'm just wearing, like, a smoking jacket, talking about the best new porns.
Tell you how much I masturbated over the
Already
weekend.
Bought my tickets to the AVNs this
Woo-wee.
Year. Got VIP seats.
Woo-wee.
Yeah. T-shirts with pictures of
porn
stars.
I send you whatever you want. Like just
you hide that stuff.
Right. That doesn't feel like something you bring up.
Yeah. But that was number three. Number two is gambling, if gambling is your hobby.
Yeah. That can define you. You do talk about it a lot. And it can. I could see why women wouldn't like it.
Absolutely. And how about the
because
people who say they do it for a living?
Because if you're like a real relationship with somebody, you're like, well, like right now he's throwing money on the table because he won. But, you know, nobody, like I always tell my kids, they're always like, you gamble a lot. I'm like, yeah. You know, but within reason. Because, you know, hey, look, I want you to go take a look at Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the desert with no resources around it. And those places are beautiful. They don't do that on the backs of giving out money because you picked the right baseball game.
No, they do not.
They do not. So just remember, like, that's all to kind of keep me in check. I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
They don't advertise FanDuel on every TV station because they're losing money.
Yep. I know a couple who's had some marital problems,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about getting back together. And I was asking someone, I said, what does she do for work? And they said, she's a gambler.
Mm.
And I was like, but what does she do? And they're like, no, she'll tell you she's a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of the reason she needs to get back together is because she can't do her job right now without him.
Right.
I'm like, well, that, because she didn't have any money to spend at the casino. I'm like, that, shouldn't she be able to connect those dots? That's not a job if she can't do
right.
it without him.
No, there are people who do it professionally.
I know there's professional poker players and stuff, but so few of them
are successful.
I know. If you just gamble a lot, that doesn't make you a pro. Just makes you an addict. You gamble a lot. That's all it really means to me. But the number one hobby that women found the most.
And there are guys, you know, you watch them. You know, they're professional gamblers.
There's poker players on that, yeah. But it is, I'd be skeptical.
One of those, like, late-night poker shows, and they did it, you know, it was like a bunch of people, but, you know, it was Doyle Brunson,
mm-hmm.
and he was gambling. It came down to him and the dude who owned Cirque du Soleil or something.
Yeah, Guy.
Right?
Yeah, he's always playing.
And, I mean, it was like the pot got to, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like $55 million.
Yep.
And they turned him over, and, like, Doyle Brunson won. And Thanks. He looked at him. You could see the guy. He was like, and Doyle Brunson was like, I'll chop it with you.
Nice.
And they asked him, they said, why? And Doyle Brunson says, he's not a professional. That would kill him. It's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
I got it.
Old Texas
like, yeah,
Dolly.
Right? Like, I'll chop it with you. Because don't. And basically, like, told him, like, it felt like, don't come back here.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't, you know what I mean? Don't do it.
Oh, yeah. That dude's come back. He's always playing.
Yeah, but.
Maybe he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Is Cirque still real popular? Did that sort of start to go away? I was asking a buddy who's out there because they got rid of the Mirage. And I was like, what will be the new Cirque? And he's like, I'm not positive that Cirque is still as huge as it was 15 years ago. I don't know. That guy made a ton of money, though. Mm-hmm. I hope he didn't lose all of it because he was incredibly wealthy for a while from doing gymnastics.
Well, there's also that story where, I think it's in Doyle Brunson's book, where the oil man comes, and there's an oil man, and they're betting, and he's like, you know, let's bet more this morning. He's like, oh. And he keeps telling Doyle how much he's worth. You know, I'm worth this hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And Doyle Brunson goes, I'll flip you for it.
Oh, yeah.
And the dude's
That's in the super system.
Yeah, I'll flip you for it. Because that's what I do. You don't do that.
Yep.
You're an oil man.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. I'll go to zero and start over. This is what I do.
That's a professional gambler.
Right.
That's a professional gambler. They do exist. They do exist, but they're few and far between. But then the thing that women found least attractive, the number one thing, is if your hobby is, they call it the manosphere, the incel kind of Andrew Tate. I don't want to say that those are, I don't even know if Andrew Tate, I don't really know what he does. Okay, so I don't know. But if you're in that manosphere is that, is those videos that you may have at least seen clips of where guys are telling other guys, all right, guys, here's what you're going to do. You got to get your shoulders up. You're going to wear this suit. You're going to talk to chicks like this. And you're going to remember. It's almost like back in the day we had the pickup artist type stuff.
Yeah.
And there were books. Yeah, Mystery on VH1.
But it's
gotten bigger than that now.
It's not just how to pick up women.
Right.
That's
how they lure you in almost. And then it becomes.
It's really about.
Sometimes they're angry at women. Sometimes.
Yeah, but it's almost like. It's got a little bit of that, you know, what's the psychiatrist's name?
Jordan Peterson?
Yeah. It's got a little bit of him in it. Where Jordan Peterson isn't about how to pick up women. That's not his thing. His is like how to be responsible, what to eat, how to work out, you know, what to make important to you, how to be a good dad. Like, there's a lot of stuff where that starts, where I think it starts in like a really good, and I'm not saying, Jordan Peterson takes it too far sometimes too, but there's a lot of that stuff where I think it starts out in like a really good place of like, hey, you know, quit being soft, right? Start acting like this, be a good father. If you need to step up to your responsibilities and step up to them with your head held high and be this kind of human being. If you do that, you will get rewards from it. And then it feels like some of those Andrew Tate guys and other guys took that kind of like the 9 lessons that Jordan Peterson put out and then was kind of like, and talk to women like this and act like this.
Yeah.
And the reason why they don't like you is the 80-20 rule and all this other stuff. And you're like, okay. Okay.
Well, like, you guys are raising boys.
Slow down a little bit.
In the internet age, so you got to worry about your kids stumbling on this stuff.
And you also have to not make sure that you don't raise them the other way.
Yeah.
I do want him to take some of Jordan Peterson's lessons. If you do something, step up like a man. Act like it, you know? And as a father, like, you know, like, let, you know, I think if you look up his name, like, one of them is like, let your kids skateboard. You know, don't follow them around and let them get, and worried about them getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right? So there are a lot of good lessons in there, but I can understand why women are like, okay.
Well, this
and they kind of mix it all together.
Probably no surprise, but they say it's most appealing to guys who didn't have male role models. So these become their kind of. Stand-in father figures a lot of times. So the ones they do think are attractive, this is the stuff you should do or lie and say you do, okay? Number 5 is woodworking. Number 4 is cooking. Number 3 is playing an instrument, although I feel like that one, maybe they should have specified a little bit, because I feel like playing an instrument could go wrong. If you're like, you want to see me play clarinet?
Maybe, play the glockenspiel.
Right, I don't know. Mm. Maybe they like all of it, but whatever, playing an instrument. Foreign language, is that a hobby? I mean, if you could teach a foreign language, I guess, and now you're really into foreign languages. Speaking of foreign language, I could see that women would like that, but it's a weird thing that it would be a hobby, right? I don't know. Some of this stuff, I can almost see it with the foreign language thing. I really don't know how you make that into a hobby, but maybe you could explain it to me. And the number one thing that you should say you do, I guess, that women find attractive for a hobby? Any guesses what I hadn't said yet?
Mm-mm.
Read.
Mm. Mm,
yeah, they like it if you read. Why? What do they actually? I would not. I would not count on that. Like, wait till she finds out that I've read Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and all these books 10 times. Like, I don't know that that's automatically a turn on. That seems like something that people lie and say they do more often than they do because they think it makes them sound better. And I think this is an example potentially of women lying and saying that they like it when men say they read because they think they should like it. The truth is, you'd rather he be a cigar smoker, wouldn't you? Than sitting there reading all day? I don't know.
I think there's probably, yes, I do believe that. I do believe that there's a line there where, you know, they don't want you to be full on Jordan Peterson, Andrew Tate, but they also don't want you to be, you know,
A pushover.
A pushover with, you know, a cardigan sweater and a, you know, with feminist written on your head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there's a fine line where they're like, yo, I'd, you know, try to be that.
Silicon's trying to find it. I think he's getting closer.
I think he's closer to that feminist part.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yeah.
Yo.
I know we're going to get to the Jim Morrison thing. I did just, did you see this guy, Mitchell Voigt? He is a baseball player at the University of Michigan.
Okay.
He put this out a few hours ago. I'd like to apologize for my actions on third base yesterday. I made an immature decision in the heat of the moment. The gesture I made does not reflect my character, the household I was raised in, or the block M that I represent in any kind of way. I take full responsibility for what I did and am truly sorry to all those who I have negatively impacted by doing this. You see what he did?
No.
He hit, no, that Shohei, he did, he hit a triple and then got down on his knees on third base and snorted the third baseline.
Oh, like, so you mean, like, what?
I know. And then people were up in arms. Like, you can't even have fun anymore, man.
Right. This is what we're trying to fix.
Right.
It's trying to find more fun to inject.
Right.
You were talking about the banana slugs. This is something you could do.
He goes, like, snorts the third baseline. I thought it was great.
That is great.
It's funny. Like, at no point did I think the guy's actually doing cocaine. Like, what?
So ridiculous.
Can't even have fun anymore.
Yeah, so you guys didn't tell me about this. I got a text from Poncho last night.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, have you watched this Jim Morrison thing yet? And I said, what Jim Morrison
By the way,
thing?
Someone texted me and said, I don't know if it's free if you have Apple or if it's a you buy it.
Okay.
It's an add-on. Somebody said it was like $8 for all three episodes.
Oh. Well, they made it seem like in the
but
news.
Maybe, if you
I
have, thought maybe the person who texted me didn't have Apple, so I don't know.
I guess I could check my app here and see what pops up. Yeah. But I mean, this was, they're actually talking about it in the news right
Jim
now.
Jim Morrison, the lead singer for The Doors, a rock music group, is dead. He was 27.
But the death was kept secret to avoid a sensation.
They say natural causes.
Which natural causes in specific, he wasn't sure.
My name is Jeff Finn, and I'm a lifetime fan of Jim Morrison. I've made it my life's work to extract the real truth from a 50-year-old tale that's been riddled with rumor, lies, and myth.
Jim Morrison's social security number is still active in Rochester, New York.
Is the abuse real? Is the death real? Is anything real about Jim Morrison?
What if everything we think we know about Jim Morrison is wrong?
He says he's alive.
Yeah, in Syracuse.
And it looks like he's found him in Syracuse. And they show a picture of him in the trailer. And I haven't seen it yet, but it looks like they're doing some DNA swabs on glasses. I know Poncho watched it. And yeah, I just pulled it up on the app here. It's
$3. Yeah, that's what I saw.
I'll never end up seeing it now. $2.99. Why did Poncho said it was on Apple. And then on the news, when I saw them talking about it this morning, they said this new documentary on Apple TV. That's what they said. It's very confusing. Yeah, so it's three episodes and it's $2.99. And I did think it was weird that it. When I saw the trailer, I was like, this is on Apple, because it definitely looks, it's got that look of a YouTube documentary.
Right.
Just very low budget, but I'm totally in. I will pay the $3
now
to watch
too.
It, because
I
love a good conspiracy.
Man. He looks like him.
He does. And you're going to get DNA testing? Like, I'm all in. I don't know if there's been one of these conspiracy theories about someone being alive that I believe. Poncho said he believed Andy Kaufman faked his own death, because everything about Andy Kaufman
was... Yeah, could have been part of the joke.
Right. Like, nothing about him was real, so why would his death be real?
Right.
You know, the Elvis is alive stuff? That was one of those,
Tupac.
My introductions to, like, society not wanting a celebrity to be dead. They're a giant celebrity. People just can't come to terms with the fact that they're not here anymore. And so you get these big celebrities
that
see us still alive.
The 70s were insane. The 60s and the 70s were just insane. Like, it's all kind of, like, that's why it leads us to believe, like, could have this stuff have happened? Because there's stuff where you're like, no, this couldn't have happened. And then you're like, no, it really did. Like that jolly guy or whatever who showed up at, you know, the Manson trial and then the Kennedy stuff. And they're like, yeah, that dude was part of the program that made people take acid and then tried to control their tried to control their brains. And like, did that exist? And you're like, there's no way that existed. And then you're like, no, it really did exist. Like, that happened. And they did do it. And you're like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, no, that dude was, you know, hanging out with Manson, like, well before Manson started doing it. You're like, wait, really?
There's that new documentary on Netflix called Chaos, supposed to be based on the book that Sonka and I read about Charles Manson. And I saw two critics reviewing that and saying, well, if you like more conspiracy theories. And it's like, no, the documentary is too short and doesn't do a very good job, in my opinion, at all. But in the book, This guy spent 30 years, and he's sharing all this stuff with you that he found, and he's not saying, here's what I think happened. He's saying, here's what I found. Doesn't this seem odd to you? And you're going, yes,
that?
It seems odd.
They talk about that jolly guy in it, whatever. Yes,
they talk about MK Ultra.
But he went and like, talked to whatever, the guy who shot Kennedy. Spends like 45 minutes in there with him, and then the guy's like, yeah, no, I did it. Like, but that guy was known to control people's brains.
Trying to see if they could do mind control experiments. He was in San Francisco around the time that Charles Manson was. The book is fascinating. The documentary.
We know that happened. We know that that happened.
That MK Ultra happened, or that this guy was. Yeah, I mean, they had to release some of the stuff on MK Ultra, and there was stuff about him. It was mostly redacted, but there was stuff that at least acknowledged that, you know, he was involved. So, again, it's just like, hey, here's all the things.
So, when I think about that, like the 60s and the 70s and all the stuff that you're like, man, that was there was just serial killers everywhere. And it was this, when you think about it, like, it was this complete, like, the world was just crazy. And it was crazy, like, look at all these serial killers and this hippie movement and drugs and the CIA doing mind control and the FBI doing all this crazy stuff. And then right around the corner, like, your dad had on a short-sleeved shirt and a tie pretending it was still the 1950s, right? And it was like this, like, what a crazy decade of, like, 66 to 77, where you're like...
And there's no internet.
Right.
So rumors can become facts and start to spread, and there's different stories to every incident. And yeah, it does seem like a crazy time.
Yeah, it was a totally crazy time. It was an insane time.
Yes.
It was insane. That stuff is crazy when I go back and look at it.
I'm not a big Doors person, so I don't know enough about
Jim Morrison. But when you say that, like, I'm like, Tupac's dead. Like, it was in Vegas, right? But, like, Morrison, I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, that was a crazy time. I don't know. Like, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe.
The ones that people believe.
If you told me the CIA was controlling people's minds and, were talking to Manson years before.
Yep.
And taught him how to control people's minds, and then these people are like, yeah, we do it for Manson. Like, well,
the stuff with Manson is
crazy. I'm not a doctor, but it seems like you could put one and one together. And why are they sending this guy who controls people's minds to talk to the dude who shot Kennedy? Like, what is happening?
It was the guy who shot Oswald.
Sorry.
The thing with the Manson thing too is just all these, like, Manson was on probation. He's on probation, right, he's got a parole officer, probation officer, whatever. Cops will pick him up. He's got underage girls, guns, all kinds of felonies. Yeah. And his probation officer's let him go.
Yeah.
So the author of that book, in my mind, didn't come off as conspiratorial. He came off as someone who goes, I wasn't all that interested in the Manson murders. I got an assignment for a magazine to write an article on the anniversary of the murders.
And he says,
and I was like, what
over,
am I going to write about it?
Like,
there's
not
nothing
a
new.
It's like, I know how this is going to sound. Like,
right.
But trust me.
He's I didn't know what to write about it. Then he starts trying to research it because he'd never done that before. He had no real interest in it. And things just kept not coming together. And he got further and further down the rabbit hole. And eventually he's like, all right, here's the book. Here's everything I found. I think it's interesting. See, if you do.
But it
and the
point
book is
in any
a
direction.
Massive.
It's just kind of like, isn't this stuff crazy?
Yeah. No. And of course, people are like, he says that the government successfully figured out mind control through LSD. And this is what the documentary tries to make it seem like, that Tom O'Neill, the author, is saying, obviously, with all this evidence, we know the government figured out how to use mind control with LSD, and they got Manson to use mind control on his
people. That's
definitely not what he's saying. He's saying that there's a lot of weird stuff that happened along the way. A lot of times where he didn't get in trouble. Not only didn't get in trouble, people who could have gotten him in trouble helped get him out of trouble. That there's something. He could have just been an informant. I don't know. But that there
that's
was something going on.
He just kept getting out of trouble for reasons we can't understand.
It's really interesting. The movie is the documentary on Netflix. It almost starts off about the book and then kind of. I don't know. It's just short, snow cone. I don't know if you watched
it yet,
but it's not very long.
That book's pretty dense.
Doesn't get into many of the details. So don't base whether or not you want to read that book on that documentary. But the celebrities being alive thing has never been a big thing for me. Elvis is the most popular. Michael Jackson. Princess Diana. I've heard that one. Tupac, you said. John F. Kennedy Jr., right? Andy Kaufman. That's one we already mentioned. Marilyn Monroe. John Lennon. I really liked the one about... What's the pop star from Canada that was married to Chad Kroeger?
Avril Lavigne.
Isn't the conspiracy that she died and then a clone came?
Yeah.
A lookalike, not a clone, but a lookalike came in to take your place. I love stuff like that. So I am all eyes and ears for this Jim Morrison thing.
Right. I guess like all that other stuff, I'm like, whatever, that's all. But whenever they're like, in 1969, this happened, I'm always like, okay, tell me more. You know what I mean? Like, you watch those documentaries on, you know, who was it in the Nixon administration, that lady, where they said was
Martha
crazy.
Mitchell. Oh, Margaret.
Yeah, yeah.
Martha
like,
Mitchell.
Yeah, like you're like, what, like, well, that didn't happen. They didn't lock her in a room and say she was crazy. And
it's what we call the Martha Mitchell effect now right, because of that.
Right, and then you're like, well, that didn't happen. This is stupid. And then you're like, no, seriously, it did happen. You're like, wow, crazy. So if you were like, of all the people that you could say are still alive, disappeared during that time, Morrison's a guy, right?
I mean, and I didn't know that there's this idea that he wanted to be.
Well, yeah, and there's also the idea of like his dad was an admiral on the ship in the Gulf of Tonkin at the start of the Vietnam War, and then he became this outspoken critic of it. Like,
I don't know any of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, his dad was an admiral in the Navy, and I think like it was the first ship that got shot at, or they shot a ship. Something happened. You'd have to look it up, but his dad was really high in the military, and then he came out and spoke against it. You're like, I don't know if there's one dude in the 60s and 70s who could, they could want to disappear,
right?
It could have been him,
and I didn't know that he wanted, like, if this guy's gonna say that that's what he wanted and he's gonna use DNA and all that, I'm all in. The one that I could
so
believe,
while I don't necessarily believe it, whenever they say 1972 this happened, I'm always like, at that point, like, well,
that's something that sounds crazy,
to you,
but you find
right,
out.
I listen to you because I've already dismissed a million things that ended up being true.
The Epstein thing to me, and I know the obvious one would be that he didn't kill himself, someone, that he was killed. But honestly, if you told me that he was alive, if they were like, we found him, he's alive, that would not seem so crazy to me that there was some sort of conspiracy to cover it up, make it look like he was dead, save all these people, because Epstein's like, and hey, you're not going to kill
Andy
me.
Kaufman. Like, if he turned up alive, it
exactly,
would make
exactly.
more sense.
Yeah. So the Morrison thing, didn't know anything about, but I'm interested. Are we all going to watch it tonight?
I don't know if I watch it tonight.
Oh, you guys aren't
going to
watch it tonight. Oh, you got to do St. Patrick's Day stuff.
I got St. Patrick's Day stuff.
Well, you can watch it when you get home. Crack some claws. $3. Come on, buddy.
I want to watch that adolescence thing.
The adolescence thing is good.
I want to watch that.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Well, that's it, guys. I guess I'm the only one going home to watch the Jim Morrison thing, but that's fine. I'll tell you all about it. Snowcone wants to watch. Oh, Princess Bride, or what did you say you wanted to watch? I don't remember now. Oh, the adolescence thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Well, I just want to get out of this room because it's still about 100 degrees cooler than it was earlier today.
It's usually not that hot in here.
But it's still about 105. So I looked at the thermostat at my house. You know, you can do it on your phone if you've got a smart thermostat.
Yeah.
And it said it was 70 degrees, which is perfectly cool enough.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, nope, I'm turning that AC on right now. It's going to be 67 when I get there. Yeah. It is hot in here, so I'm ready to be done. Laszlo, did you find anything more about Jim Morrison?
Well, I'm reading about his dad now, just because I knew I'd read so much about it.
Well, you should watch the movie tonight.
Well, I might.
Or the show, whatever the hell it is.
I was going to watch you fill me in.
His dad was a rear admiral.
I figured that's what you'd say.
George Morrison was the commander of the U.S. forces. Not just anything. He was the commander of the U.S. forces in the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the controversial event that led to America's deeper involvement in the Vietnam War. That was his dad.
I didn't know any of that.
And then Jim Morrison, his first album, said, my parents are dead. Never talked to them. They're deceased. And his dad apparently wrote him a letter that said, quit playing music. You got no talent. Like,
he was
really?
Right about that.
He was right.
Anyway, George Morrison, good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.